Proverbs chapter 4, book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, Psalms, call wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes, call wisdom literature. We live in a world that needs wisdom. Everybody I know needs wisdom. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us the wisdom and power to preach. Understanding to preach, knowledge to preach. Lord, I pray, open the heart and the mind of the hearer. Give us understanding in the Word of God and the things taught. May the Holy Spirit do a work in our heart and in our life. May He do a work in our midst and in our church. We'll thank You. We'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. I will bring you a little message this morning entitled, The Principal Thing. That is, the main thing. The most important thing. You and I live in a day and an age which is consumed with a great number of things. But never in the history of the world has the world been so preoccupied with knowing. We have the internet, the information superhighway. And our world is literally consumed with information, knowing all we can about all kind of things. We just don't think there's anything that we shouldn't know something about. And I certainly have no problem with knowledge. Knowledge is necessary to make right decisions and those kind of things. But knowledge in and of itself is not necessarily virtue. You can know things you ought not to know and therefore become responsible for them. When Adam and Eve did not know the difference between good and evil, they had no problem. Their knowledge of good and evil was their downfall. See, we think everybody ought to know everything about everything at every point in their life. There are some things that people should never know. There are some practices, there are some circles that do things and live a lifestyle that nobody ought to ever know anything about. You don't need knowledge of that. There are things that are age-appropriate knowledge. There's some things you shouldn't know when you're little and young and tender. You ought to be protected from them. It may be necessary to know it later on. It may be advantageous to know it later on. But it's not always good to give all knowledge to people indiscriminately. They're not ready for it. Now, they always think they are, by the way. And so we have to have enough wisdom to override their ignorance. Somebody say amen. And so I want to talk to you about wisdom this morning, the principal thing. It said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Why? Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, the truth is, there's three things you need to get through this life in a reasonable fashion without making shipwreck of your life. It requires knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. People say, well, they're all the same thing. No, they're not. They're not even close to the same thing. They are worlds apart. Now, they do interact with each other, and it takes all three parts for us to be as balanced as we ought to be and make right decisions and choose right paths in life. But never mistake, because things work together, that they are the same thing. My liver and my pancreas both work to keep my body functioning, but you would never mistake the one for the other. See, if I take my cells apart and I look down here and I have DNA, and that's all you hear anything about. Everybody, is there anybody here doesn't know what DNA is? Well, a lot of people hear them letters and we know it exists, but the truth is a lot of folks don't really know what it is, but we know what it is, right? But how many of you know what RNA is? Do you understand that DNA is just a code? RNA is what moves it around and puts it where it ought to be so it can do what it's supposed to do. DNA without RNA would be nothing. They are composed out of the same sugars, out of the same proteins, but they are not the same thing. And so don't ever mistake knowledge for understanding. Never mistake understanding for wisdom. They are not the same thing. You can have knowledge and understanding and be totally void of wisdom. And I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes this morning. And the message may be just a little repetition, one of those kind of Jack Howe kind of messages where you just take a single thing and just repeat it over and over from several different ways, but you're talking about the same thing the whole time. And we do that sometimes because you have to beat some things into people's head. The key to learning, they say, is repetition. When you go to Bible college, they say, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about this and this and this and this. And then we talk about this and this and this. And then you say, now, this morning we discussed. Well, you know, you've given them the same thing three times, see? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And so this morning may be, and so don't give me those weird looks about how long is he going to ride this one point. I'm going to ride it for 45 minutes. Bible said in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Now what does that mean, a man wise in his own conceit? Well, he thinks he's wise, he thinks he's got great wisdom, but it's all based on what he's got in his own head, not based on knowledge, and it's not based on understanding. Some people just think they're wise because they are who they are. Wisdom has to have a substantial base to be wisdom. Your opinions, your predilections, your inclinations, your proclivities don't count as wisdom unless they're based on knowledge that is factual and understood correctly. See? So if you don't have that base, then you're just wise in your own eyes. So you always have to be scrutinized and make sure that your wisdom has the right foundation, lest you be proven to be a fool. Now, I looked in two dictionaries. I looked in the Webster Collegiate, and then, of course, I looked in the semi-inspired 1828 for the definitions of these words. And I wrote them all down, but I'm only going to give you the 1828 Noah Webster's original first edition dictionary, because the way they said things was just so clear. You just cannot improve on the Noah Webster 1828. If you've got to have a dictionary in your house, that's the one to get. You can get it down at the bookstore for about $35. Here's what Webster said. Noah Webster, the 1828, said about knowledge. Now, the first step in becoming a wise person is to have knowledge, but it must be factual knowledge. It must be real knowledge. It can't be superstition. It can't be myth. It can't be lore. It can't be, well, I think, I feel, I suppose, the way I see it is. That doesn't count. It has to be based on what's real. You say, is that real? Well, why is that real? Because I believe it is. That doesn't count. It's not real. It's not truth. It's not a fact just because you believe it is. It's only truth. It's only a fact if it is, in fact, a fact. It has to be demonstrably so, not believed to be so. Now, Noah said about knowledge. Now, pay attention to the definitions because we're going to need them. Knowledge. A clear and certain perception of that which exists as of truth and fact. Got it? What is knowledge? It's a clear perception of what is truth or fact. Everything else is false knowledge. You hear people say, well, I always thought so and so. Yeah, but you were wrong. You made decisions. You chose a course of action based on erroneous information. The knowledge you had was incomplete or incorrect. When you do that, your decisions, your choices are going to be skewed. They're going to be off-center. You can't expect to make rational and reasonable decisions or choose courses of action that will result in a predetermined reality if you start with flawed information. It is absolutely essential to know what you're talking about. You need to know what you know. Then it said, so knowledge here is information, factual information, understanding. Here's what Noah said about that. Now pay attention to the word. The way they wrote things was just, I love them old writers. They had such a command of the language. The faculty of the human mind by which it apprehends the real state of things presented to it, or by which it receives or comprehends the ideas which others express and intend to communicate. That's understanding. Understanding is when you have a certain amount of knowledge and people or some source gives you that knowledge with the intent of presenting that knowledge so that you can use it. So that you can make sense out of it. So that that knowledge is a coherent mass. So that you can put this knowledge to use in some way. So understanding is when you sit and a teacher talks to you and presents knowledge, but your mind grasps it and it sees how this part interacts with that part. And how this part interacts with that part. And how the whole collectively responds. And what the outcome is going to be, what the advantages and disadvantages are, what the good and the bad, the pro and the con. So you're presented the information, but more than just knowledge imparted, there has to be a comprehension or understanding of that which is learned. Okay? It's one thing to say, okay, here in this computer we have this hard drive, this motherboard, whatever it is, and we have these X's and O's, everything's a positive or a negative, and we can store it in files and this, that, and we present all that information, and the average person going to sit there, okay, you told me all that junk, what does that mean? It don't mean squat, amen. I can recite all that stuff, and it don't mean that I am totally and completely computer illiterate. I've got one home that I never use. I prefer books any day of the week. But I can know all that information. I can know all the parts of that computer and not understand it. Now, once you fiddle with it and mess with it and you see how it runs, and when you do this, it does that, which in turn does this, and you say, oh, I see that. This begins a process. This multiplies the process. This changes the process, and this is the end result. I got it. Now I've got understanding. I not only know the component parts, I know how they interrelate to each other and why this one does that to the other thing. See? Now I've got understanding.
Well, so you got knowledge and you got understanding. Then you got to be a wise man. Not necessarily. Here's why. Look what Noah said about wisdom. This is critical. You ready? Wisdom, if wisdom is to be considered a faculty of the mind, it is that faculty of discerning or judging what is the best, the most just, the most proper use of knowledge. Wisdom is more than knowing the facts. It is more than understanding how it operates and what its consequences are. Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge the best way to use the information and understanding I possess. Now, where are we at in 2007? We are practically consumed with knowledge. Man, you can get on the internet and hook up on some of them things, you know, and they got these remote servers out there all over the world, and you can talk to anybody about it. There's nothing you can't find it doesn't look like on a computer. If you know how to do it, man, the sky's the limit. You can get information, you can get knowledge virtually about anything. Amen? And you can read it and study it and look at it, analyze it, and glean a great deal from it. Now the question is this, what are you going to do with it? Wisdom isn't how much I know. Wisdom is not even how much I understand. Wisdom is now that I know it and I understand the thing, how will I best utilize it? A great many people who have a great deal of knowledge and a great deal of understanding about a lot of things lack wisdom because they take all that information and they keep right on making bad decisions. Just because you know a bunch of junk, just because you know how a bunch of stuff works, you understand the principle and the theory, doesn't mean that you'll necessarily use it rightly. There's no guarantee that just because you, we call them smart, that you got any sense. Amen. I know a bunch of folks, man, they are smart. Smart. They can pick up information just like that. Their little brain just latches onto it. And man, they can impress you with all the stuff they know. They can impress you with how quick they can learn it. And they turn right around and make mistakes that ruin their lives, ruin their families, rob them of their peace and their joy. Let me ask you this. In that case, what good was their knowledge? What good, what benefit, what profit was there in their understanding? If they don't have the common sense, the wisdom, the discretion to use it to good advantage. Let me show you something. Let's go back and take that computer. And I'm talking about something I don't know much about here, computers. But I've watched them, and people use them. There is great potential in computers for good. There is. Much as I hate to admit it. I hate to see people get hung up on computers because they put hours and hours and hours in them stupid things when you could be doing something real. But the potential to do good, to pass on useful information and instruction, to communicate with different societies and different languages, just like that, to bring peace and harmony to the world. There's almost unlimited potential in that computer. However, a lot of very learned, very experienced, very understanding people use that thing for pornography. Now, is that wise? No, that shows a lack of wisdom. Now, they've got knowledge. They understand the whole shebang. They can get on there and tap them little keys and just go anywhere and find out anything and all that. And what do? They use that knowledge and that understanding wrong. And they bring great harm and great hurt to themselves and countless other people. The fact that they had access to all that knowledge and all this understanding and they could do so many things was no guarantee they had any wisdom whatsoever. What did that verse say? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. So we're looking at three things here. And there are some synonyms that we use all the time for the same thing. Wisdom is can be discernment. Understanding is the same as comprehension. Knowledge is the same as information. So basically we're looking at three things here that have to work in unison in order for it to work correctly. Knowledge, what we know. Comprehension or understanding, how we comprehend what we've been presented, and what we do with what we know. That's wisdom. And somehow, some way, it becomes imperative that we get all three of these things to work together. I cannot exercise great wisdom if I don't also have learning to go with it, if I don't have some understanding to go with it. In order to be wise, it's necessary to have information on which to base my decisions, to make help me in choosing my course of action. So knowledge is an essential. But knowledge that isn't real knowledge, isn't based on fact or truth, will lead to wrong decisions. So I must have real information, honest information. And I must understand where it came from and what it does and the intricacies of it and why or how one part relates to another. Now, if I can get those two, then I have the potential, not necessarily guaranteed, but I have the potential to exercise wisdom. Solomon, the Bible said, and you've heard of the wisdom of Solomon, wisest man that ever lived. And everybody's familiar with the little story where two women had children. One lay on her in the night and it died. And so the next morning, the two women are fighting over whose child the other one is. And they can't decide, so they bring it to Solomon for him to decide. And they get up there and both women are saying, "This is my child, this is my child." And one said, "The one that's dead was hers." And this one said, "The one that's dead was hers." They couldn't get it straight. And Solomon said, "Okay, I got it. I understand. You presented me with the facts. We had two mamas, two babies. Somebody laid on one. Somebody's died. And now everybody wants to fight over the other one. Here's what we're going to do. Bring me a sword." They bring him a sword. And he said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to cut this one in half and give half of it to both of them." And of course, the real mother jumps up and says, No, give it to her. Give it to her. So I'm so good. Give the baby to this one." That's pretty wise. That's pretty crafty. But now he had to have some information. But he had to have some understanding. So he understood human nature. He understood that both those women loved their children. Both of them wanted a child. Both of them were willing to lie to keep that one. So he understood what was going on. He understood the needs and the cries of a mother's heart. And because he understood that, it gave him the wisdom to say, "I know what, they both want the child. They both love their children. They both claim this one. But I know motherhood. Because there's real love, they won't suffer anything bad to happen to that child. So if I threaten it, the real mother will protect it." That's wisdom. That simple little principle should guide us every day of our life in almost everything we do. There is never a time or a place that I'm aware of where you can divorce your life and your actions from knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I don't care whether it's in making a living, it's whether it's in raising your children, whether it's in the husband-wife relationship, whether it's in your relationship to God Almighty, if it's your relationship between you and your government. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you need as much knowledge as you can get. You need to have good understanding of that knowledge. Then you need to exercise wisdom. Boy, I've never met a man that didn't think he was wise. We all think we got it. Some of the people that think they're wise are ignorant and unlearned, non-thinking. I like what Job said about his three friends over there one time. You ever read the book of Job? He said, there's not a wise man among you. He was absolutely right. If you go back and read the book of Job, not one of his friends understood what was going on. They did not understand his dilemma. There wasn't one of them had any wisdom about him. Job was absolutely, he said, there's not a wise man among you. The Bible said, where is the wise man? Where is the disputer of this world? Where is he at? Well, he's saying that because there doesn't appear to be many. In our society, we have stopped short. We have decided that the principal thing is knowledge. You can buy books, 1,000 tidbits about the Bible. You know, people think they've got Bible knowledge because they know all these little thingies. You can buy all kind of books to give you insight into certain things. They give us knowledge, or at least we think they're giving us knowledge. And we stop right there. You talk to the average person and say, well, I know how to do so-and-so. I know all about that. But now, to know this and to know all about it implies knowledge and understanding. The truth is, most of the time when you talk to people about things, all they have is the knowledge. The truth is that there is a lot of knowledge around these days. People do know more. You know, we even think kids are smarter these days than we were. You ever heard people say that? Say, boy, kids these days are smart. They're not one bit smarter than you were. You know what the difference is? They're presented different knowledge. That's all. And because the things they're presented with are things you don't understand well, you think they're smart because they picked it up. If you had been presented that same information at that same point in your life, you'd have picked it up just as easily. I'm here to tell you, this generation ain't one bit smarter than the one before it or the one before that. Amen. So what's the difference? The knowledge or the information that we give them is different. Now, when we were growing up, Brother Fred here and I, way back there about the turn of the century, he's been around longer than asphalt's been on highways. But back then, we didn't have information pools like we have today. You didn't have access to the library. You didn't have access to the internet. And so if we could read two or three books in our youth, we were considered pretty informed. And you go to school and they present the ABCs, reading, writing, arithmetic, and that kind of stuff. And if you could read and write, you were considered a pretty smart fellow. But we didn't get all the tons of information then that they get now. But we got what they gave us. Amen. The difference was back then, we had time to think about what they gave us. When they taught us something, we had time to ponder over it, to think about it, to analyze it, to critique it. Now, this generation you live in doesn't have that option. They don't have that luxury. They are so busy being bombarded day in and day out, 24/7, from this angle and from that angle and from the other angle, with all this information, they have little or no time to ever stop and think about what that information is good for or how to use it. Our generation, this current generation, has unprecedented knowledge and unprecedented lack of understanding. Now, have you noticed what a mess the world is in? And that young people in particular They say we're out of touch with them, and we don't communicate, and this, that, and the other. And there may be some element of truth to that. But the generation that's here now has been given all this information and no time to ponder it, no time to muse over it, no time to analyze it, and therefore be able to apply it. The world today is in utter chaos. Young people these days are void of understanding. They are void of morality. They don't think about consequences. They're just totally existential. They're just... They live in the very present. They live in the right now. The consequences, the impact on others, the outcome of events today, down the road, never... They're ignorant of all that. And so you have young people these days that are just totally disassociated from any reality. The knowledge they've been given, some right, some wrong, some good, some bad, has never been processed, irregardless of its value. They just got it in their head. They ain't got a clue in this world what it means. Now, what's the end result of that? The end result is that you can't take one out of two required items and process it in the third place into wisdom. You know why the current generation doesn't know its front from its back, its up from its down? Why you can sit there and lecture it and lecture it and lecture it and present all kind of arguments, and they look at you like a cow looking at a new fence? And when you get all three, you say, well, I presented all my evidence. I've given them all this wisdom. I've given them all this insight. They listen to all of it, and they turn around and do exactly the opposite of what you thought they were going to do. They do exactly what they wanted to do in the first place. You say, how in the world can they be that stupid? They're that stupid because they don't have any wisdom. And they don't have any wisdom, not because they didn't have knowledge, but because they were never given space to develop understanding. Isn't this fun? This is more thinking than some of y'all are used to. It may be more than some of y'all are capable of. Now, so here we are in 2007, with a large percentage of our church membership and a large percentage of our society possessed and braggadocious about all that they know, or all that they can at least find out, and with no concern about understanding that information, how it applies to them, how it applies to life, how it applies to others, and most of all, how it applies to God. They just know this stuff. They can recite it. They can tell you where it's at. They can give you book, chapter, and verse. Information they have. Understanding, that's a whole different ballgame. Now, but someplace, sometime, they've got to take this knowledge and put it into use. They've got to do something with it. That is, after all, the fundamental purpose for acquiring knowledge is to know how to do something. But if we have the knowledge and we don't have the understanding, then when we do something with it, the chances are it's not going to be for the best. It's not going to be the best use of the knowledge. If it's not the best use of the knowledge, then according to the dictionary, what is it? It's a lack of wisdom. That's the fundamental reason your country's in the mess. You know why Obama and Hillary can run for president and get tons and tons of votes? You know why McCain and Mitt Romney can get tons and tons of votes? Because the average citizen is totally unaware of what they voted for, what they've stood for. That, you know what they're doing? They're filling their head with current knowledge, the rhetoric of the campaign. You know what they're about to do? They're making bad decisions. They're not going to exercise any wisdom because they don't have any understanding. All they've got is a little knowledge. And the old saying is, the adage is, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. People say, well, I know just enough to be dangerous. That's the gospel truth, son. That ought to be a Bible verse. If I ever do a translation, I'm putting that in there. I said, well, preacher, why in the world are you doing all that this morning and spending so much time? I want you to get the principle thoroughly grounded in your head for a simple reason. In order to have a right relationship with God, you have to have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Now, it's not my job to fix politics. It's not my job to run your life and tell you how to make your decision. That's not my purpose. That's not what I get paid for. My only objective is to get you to have a right relationship with God Almighty. And I have deduced from much learning and much pondering this tidbit of wisdom. You got to know Him. You got to know about Him. You have to have Him presented to you. You have to process that in your little pea-sized brain so that you have understanding of Him and you and your relationship one to the other. And then hopefully you will exercise the wisdom that will bring you to the foot of the cross and make you humble yourself before your Creator. You won't do that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're never going to have faith in God, never going to have faith in Jesus Christ if you don't know about Him. He must be presented. You must be made to know that He exists. You're never going to be able to make right decisions. You're never going to be able to exercise wisdom in spiritual things if you're ignorant of God the Father and God the Son. It becomes Brother Lewis's job to make sure that you are taught, instructed in the reality of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our job to make sure you know. It is then the job of the Holy Spirit to make you understand. I can't make you understand. I cannot make it real to you. No matter how eloquent I speak, no matter what vocabulary I have, no matter how much effort I put into it, no matter how passionate my desire is, I cannot make you understand the awfulness of your sin, the eternal destruction of a place called hell, the love of a God who would give His Son, the love of a Son who would forgive you all your transgressions and save you from an eternity of terror and torment to a life of eternal bliss and glory with Him by receiving Jesus Christ by faith. I can't make that real. I mean, I can state it. And when you hear it, you hear the words. You could probably parrot back to me what I just said and not do it with understanding. It takes the Holy Spirit to make that concept a reality. Not just words. But you understand that what I just said is so. So we have to have knowledge. We have to have understanding. Now, by the grace of God, if we know that Christ is real, that He came to be the Savior of the world, that He gave His life a ransom, if we understand that God did that for the redemption of mankind, and in particular, He did it for the redemption of our own soul, and that it's a reality, it's not words on a page, it's not a legend, it's not a myth, it's more real than quantum physics, it's more real than light and light bulbs. When it's as real as anything you ever knew or experienced in your lifetime, it is so real that it is beyond doubting. It is beyond question. When you have that understanding of that bit of knowledge, you are in a position to make a wise decision. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And once they hear, once Christ has been lifted up, once He's been understood, Once we comprehend what God did because He loved us, then it is up to us to exercise the wisdom that will keep us from the devil's hell. But you know something? With that knowledge and that understanding, you can be a fool. I will show you that knowledge and understanding does not guarantee wisdom. That story has been presented to countless millions through the ages. And the Holy Spirit, the preacher has done his part, and the Holy Spirit has done their part. I've seen men and women and children sit and grip that pew, and their knuckles turn white, and their face turn red, and perspiration break out, and they knew, they understood, they were lost without God, without hope. They knew they were going to die and go to a devil's hell. They knew that Jesus Christ died to save them. God and the Holy Spirit made it real. Like a fool. Knowing that, understanding that, they said no. 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 I understand what you said. I understand what you said. I have that knowledge and I have the understanding of it. But in the depths of my blackened, sin-soaked heart, I reject. I turn down. Show me a man wise in his own conceits. I'll show you more hope for a fool than for him. The question is today, what do you know? Oh, I'm not worried about what you know about computers or cars or sports or anything else. What do you know about God? Do you know that your Creator loves you? Do you know that? Do you know that your Creator has found you guilty before His throne? You've transgressed His law. You're a sinner. All sin comes short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. God loves you. You've rebelled. You've sinned. But God loves you before the sin, and God loves you after the sin. And God so loved that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent a sacrifice. He sent a spotless lamb to die in your place and to pay your sin debt, that He might have fellowship with you now and throughout all eternity. That's the gospel truth. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That Spirit of God says, you're a sinner, and except you repent, you shall likewise perish. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to make the message of that book real. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and produce faith in a sinner's heart. But neither the Bible, nor the Holy Spirit, nor the preacher can make you exercise wisdom. That's up to you. You're going to have to look at what you know. You have to look at what you understand and be a wise man or a fool. Just by it. Jordan, why don't you come play this morning? Jordan's going to play "Just As I Am" without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God.